Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to have you back with us on this Friday. We are wrapping up our jam-packed week because we have still so much to get through this Friday. This jam-packed week on 1 John chapter 4, and we are just covering so many key fundamental elements of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, of what it means to be a Catholic, of what it means to belong to God. And the truth is, friends, we would be all set if we just believed these things over and over and over again, these core realities. And so I need in my life to keep going back to these core realities. Jesus dwells in me and I dwell in him. He has given me his Holy Spirit. I've seen it. I testify to it. I need to confess with my lips and with my life that Jesus is the Son of God. And when I do that, if I do that, Jesus abides in me. It's amazing. And that leads me to this reality that I need to believe and know in the love God has for us. The love that he has for me, because love is his nature. And friends, when we live out of all of those realities, our lives will change. We will change. We'll be transformed by the power of God. Not living from a place of grasping, not living from a place of fear, but living from the security of God's love. So we want to go ahead and continue to read. We want to ask the Holy Spirit. Again, the whole journey of our lives, friends, is every day asking the Spirit to give us power to believe these fundamental things. I'm always working on fundamentals. You know, athletes, amazing, the best athletes in the world, they're constantly working on fundamentals. We were trying to tell this to my nieces and nephews because they're basketball players. And everybody wants to run up and shoot like the Caitlin Clark 3 from the logo, but no one wants to dribble. You know, no one wants to do the dribbling drills. No one wants to be dribbling constantly. No one wants to put in the work on the left side and the right side and the handles. But the excellent people, the best athletes, it's dribbling in soccer. It's doing that, just throw, getting the reps in and throwing in football. Whatever it is, the best people, the elites, the Olympians, the top people, Kobe Bryant, right? They loved the fundamentals. And they went back to the fundamentals over and over and over again. And they were perfecters of the fundamentals. And so it's like that in the spiritual life, is God is saying, hey, you're trying to do all of these things. You're trying to go behind the back. You're trying to spin the ball on your finger. You're trying to shoot too many threes because you're trying to be impressive. Go back to the fundamentals, because the fundamentals is your foundation. The fundamentals is where you find that reality that I am loved. And so that's what we've been doing this week. We've been getting down in the fundamentals. And friends, don't leave the fundamentals in your life. We're going to continue to go on in these and to continue to say, Holy Spirit, show me in these simple places who God is, and give me the grace and security to believe it. So let's go ahead and pray, and we're going to read the second half of this set of verses, because we're going to try to make it through the rest of what John is saying here in this scripture. So if you join me in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for this week that you've given us to just be able to go through your word. And we thank you for all that you revealed to us so far. We thank you that you abide in us and we abide in you. We thank you that when we confess that you are the Son of God, you dwell within us, you abide in us. We thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit. We thank you that your nature is love and that you never, ever change. You give yourself to us fully in self-gift. We thank you, Lord, and we ask that you would continue today as we wrap up this week and we prepare this weekend to enter into Pentecost, that you would pour your love out on us in a more significant way, and that the Holy Spirit would blow like a rushing wind through each and every one of our hearts. And we ask this in your most holy name. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So let's go ahead and read. So we know, I'm starting at verse 16. So we know and believe the love God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. In this is love perfected in us, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, But perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. And he who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God should also love his brother. And so we're starting off that. I just love that line so much. We know and believe the love God has for us. I want that to be true of me. I want that to be true of me every single day, that I'm a person who knows and believes in the love that God has for me. Lord, make us that way. Give us the grace to be that. It's like I've always in my life wanted to be known as so many different things. I wanted to be important. I've wanted to be the best. And I love John. He's just like, I want to be known as a lover of God. I want to be known as someone who knows that they're loved. Do we want to be known as someone who knows that we're loved? Do you want to know and believe that the love God has for you? So beautiful. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God. And God abides in him. Here we have more abiding. We have more dwelling. He who dwells in love. John's saying you can't dwell in love without dwelling in God. Anywhere there is love, God is there. Anywhere there is genuine, self-giving love, anywhere there is goodness, God is there because he is love itself. That's why even like relationships where, you know, people are maybe pagans or something, but there's goodness there. There's real love there. There's actual self-giving. Even we see this in parenthood. So often when people become parents, they end up getting deeper into their faith because they're experiencing from themselves a self-giving love. Like, whoa, I love this person so much. I want to protect them. I want to give myself to them. This little baby that's been given to me is everything. What do I do now? And it leads them into a deeper understanding of who God is, that he just loves, that he lavishes on us, that there's nothing we can do to earn it. So anywhere where there is love, it leads us to God. God is there abiding in us and God abiding in us. In this is love perfected in us. So he has, not only do we know that we are loved, not only do we know that God loves us, but love can be perfected in us. And I love that it's not we perfect love in us. Love is perfected in us. It's something that happens to us when we surrender. We're growing in perfection because we're growing into the image of Christ. It's something that's happening to us as we are transformed by love. We're being perfected in love. This is why I love, you know, Jesus says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And yes, it's this command, but when it's tied to God is love, this reality that we're not just becoming perfect, we're not just in a sterile way, like getting everything right. We're not just checking all the boxes. We're not just becoming the most virtuous we can become on our own merit. And I think that's sometimes what we receive it as. It's like this high call of like, okay, I got to be perfect. I got to get there. But when we surrender, friends, truly when we surrender to a love that sees us, that knows us. Maybe like me, you've tasted this love and it just deals with every hardship, every thought we've had about ourselves. It comes in and it totally just, it permeates every aspect of your being. And it's that thing of being totally seen, of totally known, of totally secure, of he sees everything and he's still here. I remember one time I was spending a lot of time praying through, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. And God revealed to me, Jesus revealed to me that I kept praying like, oh, thank you, Jesus, that you still love me. Thank you, Jesus, that you still love me. And he was like, what do you mean I still love you? And we kind of began to have this conversation. He was saying, you're believing that you're hard to love. And I think a lot of times we come to Jesus and we say like, thank you that you still love me. Oh my gosh, I know I'm so challenging. I know I'm sinning so much. Thank you that you still love me. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to deal with your sin. Like that's a whole thing, but it's not hard for me to love you. Love flows out of him. It doesn't take work. For us, when someone bothers you and is being really annoying and you're like, hey, I have to choose to love. Like, I don't like you, but I have to love you. That's not the case with God. He likes every single one of us. He loves every single one of us. He doesn't have to work to love. He doesn't have to submit it to his will. He doesn't have to clench his fist. He doesn't have to be like, wow, you're being really annoying right now, but I'm still choosing to love you. It flows out of him. There is never a moment. I love this song that I heard when I was at a church in Kansas City, and they were singing it, and they're singing about God the Father, and they're saying that these songs, "You were never absent from my life." And there's this beautiful line that says, "There is not a day that goes by that I don't have your eyes, that I don't have your smile." This reality that this God is always delighting in us. That's an expression of love. And as we soak in that love, as we're in that love, we're becoming perfect. We're perfected in love. Yes, that means we're becoming better lovers. We're growing in the ability to love, but also we become perfect in the context of love. We're being perfected in love, not just in hard work, not just in white knuckling, not just submitting our will. We're being perfected in love. Because as he is, so are we in this world. And then finally, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and he who fears is not perfected in love. So here when we talk about fear, we're not talking about the right fear of the Lord, like an awe and wonder and a trembling at God. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, like, I'm afraid of you. That if I don't get it right, I don't want to come back to you. Because I'm afraid of what you'll do. I'm afraid of what you'll say. And oftentimes we put all of these qualities of human beings on God. We're like, he's going to turn his back on us. He's going to see our sin and say we're too messy. There, all of us have this fear. And so often it manifests in, what is God going to do with my life? If I give him full control, if I submit my life to him, what is he going to do with my life? Am I going to have to give up all those things that I love? Is it going to be too hard? All of these fears, because we don't trust in his love for us. Because there's no fear in love. When we're really dwelling in his love, we're not afraid of him. We're not afraid of the future. We're not afraid of what to come. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear is a fruit of ultimately death. Ultimately of death. And Hebrews chapter 2 says Jesus came to deal with the bondage of slavery that we're under, of death, and the fear of death that binds the human race. So we're bound in the fear of death, which produces other fears. But Jesus, through his conquering of death, through his great act of love, he conquers death. And that perfect love casts out ultimately that fear of death and all the fear that comes with it. Fear of the future, fear of judgment, fear of condemnation, fear of not being seen, fear of being betrayed, fear of being manipulated, fear of being deserted. Perfect love, the perfect love that he is, not just the love that he has for us, but the perfect love that he is, casts out all fear. So today, friends, he has loved us first. He has loved us with an everlasting love. And that love today wants to come into your heart, and it wants to cast out all the fear that you have about your future, all the fear that you have about your life, all the fear that you have to actually let him write your story. He's saying, let me do it. Surrender, open up the door just a crack for him who is perfect love to come in a new way, in a more powerful way than ever before. Because today, friends, as you walk into your life, he wants to cast out fear. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining me this week on Burning Hearts.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus is teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.